Well, good morning. Good to see everyone this morning. And it is so weird to put on one sock and one shoe. You know, I mean, you have to wash both socks, but you only wear one of them. That's just kind of crazy. But again, just want to thank everyone for your love, for the meals, and all of your encouragement. It means so much. And we'll see how this works this morning, sitting up here. Looking forward to this message this morning. We're in a series titled, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And last time we talked about Jesus as Friend of the Addicted. Maybe you saw again, it's the same title, Jesus, a Friend of the Addicted. That's because this is part two, okay? And so this is a very important lesson. And so what we see in our text here today is that the disciples of Jesus went from fear to fear. Because just before the story of the demon-possessed man is the story of Jesus being on the Sea of Galilee in the great storm, and Jesus calmed that storm. And so they were fearful on the storm, and then they land on the shore, and immediately they encounter this demoniac, this demon-possessed man. And so they went from fear to fear as this demoniac terrorized the people. But in our text, we see that Jesus has the power to free us from everything that would enslave us. So as we think about addiction is any thinking or habitual behavior that is repetitious or impossible to control. Addictions usually start with a short-term pleasure, but then there are long-term consequences to certain behaviors. So it may start out short-term pleasure, but that becomes a habit over time. And addictions are progressive. They begin with a single pleasure that appears harmless, and then there is this increased appetite which results in addiction. You're just stuck in this thing now. And so there's one thing that all addictions have in common. They take priority over everything else in your life. Everything. That's what addictions do. And so sometimes they are termed sicknesses. But all addictions are diseases of choice. Whether it's alcoholism or drug abuse or, you know, overeating or whatever it is. These are choices that we make. And it is simply a sin that is out of control in our life. Peter writes, "For by what a man is overcome, by this he is enslaved." 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 19. And so I hope today that you will let Jesus be master over you and liberate you from bondage. This demon-possessed man in our text possessed a graphic example of how Jesus can free us from anything that enslaves us. And so, somewhere along the line, we don't know how or what, but somehow along the way, this man opened himself up to the demonic world. We don't know how that happened, but somehow he might have been fooling around with the wrong thing, and he just opened himself up to demonic influence. And so all of these demons came inside of him. There were a multitude of demons. Many demons were living inside of this man. And so his life was a mess. So as we think about addiction today, there's several things I think are important. Number one, beware of the power of alcohol to enslave you. Look over in Proverbs chapter 20. Look at verse 1 for just a moment. Proverbs 20 verse 1. Solomon writes here, "Wine is a mocker, strong drink is a brawler, and whoever is led astray by it is not wise." And so the Bible warns about the power of alcohol. Alcohol can enslave you. Look in Proverbs 23. In Proverbs 23, beginning at verse 29 down to verse 35. Listen to this. And maybe you've long somewhere in your life, you've experienced what we're going to talk about, what Solomon's going to share with us here. Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has complaints? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? Those who linger long at the wine. Those who go in search of mixed wine. Do not look at the wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it swirls around smoothly. At the last, it bites like a serpent, and it stings like a viper. Your eyes will see strange things, and your heart will utter perverse things. Yes, you will be like one who lies down in the midst of the sea, or like one who lies at the top of the mast, saying, "They have struck me, but I was not hurt. They have beaten me, but I did not feel it. When shall I awake that I may seek another drink?" And so as you listen to what Solomon is saying there, I definitely in my life have experienced some of the things he talks about in this particular text. But alcohol is powerful, and it is enslaving, and people don't realize that. You know, and I know that the Bible talks about how we can drink modestly, just a small amount, but I think it's unwise. I think it's unwise simply because you don't know if you have those genes that when you drink, you're not going to be able to stop. You might have that gene, and you just don't know if you have it. Some people, one drink is all they need, and they are an alcoholic from that point on because they like it, and they want it, and they need it, and they are enslaved to it. And so Solomon warns us, even in chapter 20, verse 1, you know, he who goes that direction is not wise because we know what alcohol can do. So beware of the power of alcohol. That's what Solomon is telling us. It has tremendous enslaving power. I've known so many people, and there are probably more alcoholics than drug addicts in the world, believe it or not. Alcohol is the number one consumed drug in America, and it is a drug. It's the number one consumed drug. Over all drugs, alcohol is at the top of the list. Beware of the power of alcohol to enslave you. Number two, notice the warning here is also against gluttony. Chapter 23 here in verse 20. 23:20. Solomon writes, "Do not mix with wine bibbers or with gluttonous eaters of meat." So gluttony can also be an addiction. We can be addicted to food. And there are people who are addicted to food. And we all see stories from time to time of, you know, 500-pound people, 600-700-pound people. They just eat and eat and eat and eat and eat and eat and eat. Well, there are a lot of people that do have bulimics, and, you know, there are all kinds of eating disorders today. But understand the dangers of overeating. And there are all kinds of dangers. I mean, overeating can affect your health in lots of ways. It's not normal to just gorge yourself with food. Just continue to eat and eat and eat and eat and eat. And we can look at that and think it's harmless. You know, I'm just eating food. I'm not out here, you know, shooting heroin in my arm or snorting cocaine or, you know, getting drunk. I'm just eating. But you're eating too much. And our bodies can be affected by that. And we can have all kinds of health issues. And so we have to be careful with the sin of gluttony, which is an addiction. Next, you need to know that there are a lot of hard drugs, such as cocaine, heroin, methamphetamine. But what about prescription drugs? What about those? Because here's the thing. More people are addicted to prescription drugs than illegal drugs. Did you know that? That's a fact. You see, the pain stopped weeks ago, but we're still taking the meds. or the surgery was months ago. But we're still calling the doctor to fill the prescription. And it's important that we recognize this. It's important that we know that, wait a minute, am I really hurting? Do I really need this? Or am I just enjoying the effects of this? Because it's real easy to do that. It's real easy with pain medicine to enjoy the effects. That this feels good. But then it becomes an addiction. You got to have more. You got to have more. And listen, doctors are smart. And today, you know, they cut you off quickly. You know, they might write you one prescription after surgery. You ain't getting no more. And the reason is they know the enslaving power of pain medication. But there's all kinds of medications we can get at the doctor that we use, and we think it's okay because the doctor's prescribing it. He's giving it to me. It can't be a bad thing. If it were bad, he wouldn't give it to me. But we know deep down we don't need it anymore. But yet we call the doctor, fill the script. So let me give you a challenge. And this may not apply to anybody in here. It just may apply to someone who's listening on. All right, but it may apply to someone in here. And I know I have to take this lesson to heart. I mean, if I'm going to preach it, I'm going to personally take it to heart. But here's the thing I want to give you. Quit for 1 week and see if you can do it without being depressed or irritated. Because if you can't do it without being depressed or irritated, you're addicted. That's why we do it, because we're depressed. That's why we do it, because we're irritated. And so we got to get more to take away the depression and take away the irritation. But this is just a little test that I think tells us if we have a problem or we don't have a problem. Another drug, nicotine. Nicotine has awesome power to enslave. It's a dangerous habit that can lead to heart disease and cancer. One of the amazing things to me is I pick up inmates when they get released from prison, and I pick up all kinds of inmates, some that I know are doing well and some that aren't doing well, but I'm just going to help them. You know the first thing they want when they get out of prison? Stop at a store and get a pack of cigarettes. That's the first thing they want. I've been in prison for years. Now, some of them, you know, smoke a little bit in there, but it ain't like you got a pack and you can smoke every day. You can smoke every once in a while. Why you would continue that, I don't know. But why would you get out, and some guys haven't had cigarettes in years, and that's the first thing they want? Why would you go to that enslaving habit when you have freedom? But they do. But that shows you the power of this drug. That after years and years of being in prison, I still want that. It's extremely potent. But I mentioned, you know, the effects of smoking. I have lost so many people to lung cancer. My mom and dad both died of lung cancer due to smoking. I've had numerous friends in school. Just lost a friend in Florida. Teresa and I just lost a really good friend. It's been a couple of years ago now, Frank McPherson. What a wonderful brother. Came from a really rough background. Really rough background. Got his life together. Married a good Christian woman. Got his life together. And I begged him to quit smoking. Begged him to quit. He just wouldn't. He's dead and gone. And so smoking will affect your lungs. It will affect your heart. And so will dipping and all that other stuff. Because you can also get cancer in the lips and jaws. And I know a girl that had to have her tongue cut out. They cut a good portion of it out, and they had to go back in and cut more. She didn't have hardly any tongue at all. They had to cut the whole thing out. She couldn't even talk after they did that. But it was just, hers was due to smoking, though. It affected her tongue, and she got cancer of the tongue. And so it is a dangerous, enslaving habit. But the next one I want to talk about is sexual addiction. Because this may apply to you. You know, first, it start, believe it or not, this is a huge problem in the world. It's a huge problem. But it begins with still pictures. It might begin with a magazine. You know, just flipping through, looking at pictures, just still pictures. But then it goes to looking at videos, and, you know, you can go on YouTube, or there's all kinds of sites you can go to. Grindr, and I think Grindr's like for homosexuals or something like that. But there's all kinds of sites like that. You can get kid pornography and all kinds of stuff off of these things, and it is sickening. It is terrible. But it moves to movies, and then so it begins with still pictures. Then it begins with watching videos, and then you know what happens? You act out. You act out. I mean, you see this, you watch this, you see what others are doing, and it's like, well, that's what I want to do. And people get caught up into a lifestyle. Chuck Colson said, "Internet porn is spiritual crack cocaine." Maybe even more powerful than crack cocaine, because there are so many people who are addicted to pornography. Many marriages have been destroyed by their husbands or wives, because it goes both ways. It's just not something men struggle with. Women struggle with this also. And so it's a problem on both sides. But, you know, you engage in these online fantasies, and it just destroys a marriage. Look in Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 26. Proverbs 6:26. Solomon says, "For by means of a harlot, a man is reduced to a crust of bread, and an adulteress will prey upon his precious life." That's a warning to men there, right? What can a woman do? Turn you to a crust of bread. Oh yeah, there's power there. There's tremendous power there. I mean, a woman can completely weaken you that you cannot resist. But a man can weaken a woman that you cannot resist. So it works both ways. So, there's strong addiction when it comes to sexual addiction or pornography. And then next, gambling. Gambling. There are about 11 million adolescents in America that gamble. And they do this because there's all kinds of online sites that these youth can go to and gamble. Understand that if you go to the riverboat or to the racetrack or the blackjack table, there is potential for strong addiction. I mean, you do it once or twice. There was a guy up in Iowa I knew, and I tried really hard to lead him to Jesus, and I came really, really close. He was coming to services all the time before I left. He retired from John Deere. He had a great pension. His house was paid for. He got into gambling, and he lost his house and spent his entire savings. I mean, he depleted everything just gambling, going to casinos. He lost it all. That was a shame to see that. You know, he lost his home. He lost his pension. He didn't have any more. He spent everything he had gambling. But I know a lot of people used to do that. I used to have an addiction to gamble. In fact, there was a time in my life when I used to gamble with an old man that I used to work for. I used to do painting for him, painted houses. And we would cut the deck for $500 a shot. High card wins. High card. One time I drew a 3, and he started cracking up and laughing because, you know, surely I'm going to lose. And then he pulled a 2. That was the greatest time. But here's the thing. But ignore gambling, all right? That was great at the moment. It's terrible to be in addiction like that because, listen, you will always lose. Yeah, you'll have times when you'll win. You will win, but you are going to lose way more than you ever win. That's just the way it works. You don't think these casinos are in business giving money away, do you? You know, they'll say, you know, we give away 3 cents on the dollar. Oh, that's generous. So think about that. You give them a buck, they give you back 3 cents. You give them a buck, they give you back 3 cents. Listen, I'll do that. If y'all want to do that, I'll do that today. Just come forward, give me a dollar, and I'll give you 3 cents. And then we'll just do that until we get to the last person. I mean, that's how the casinos work. You don't beat them. You don't win. You lose. But when you're addicted, you can't stop. You got to go because you just know this is the day. It's going to happen today. I know it's going to happen today. And it doesn't happen. And people lose so much due to the addiction of gambling. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. First Timothy chapter 6, beginning at verse 9, the Apostle Paul says, "But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and are snared into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for of which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness, pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But you, O man of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness and godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life to which you also were called, and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." So almost every sin, if left unchecked, has the potential of becoming enslaving in your life. It can be stealing. It can be gossiping. It can be greed. It can be a critical mindset. Any sin can become an enslaving sin in your life if you allow it to be in your life. That's why we're always encouraged to get rid of sin in our lives, to eradicate sin, to put to death sin in our lives, as Paul talks about in the book of Romans chapter 8. Verses 11 through 13 there. So here's what you need to know. Jesus is the friend of the addicted because he has the power to liberate them from their addiction, whatever that is. And so when Jesus came to this man, he didn't chastise him. He didn't rebuke him. He simply demonstrated that he could calm a raging soul in the same way he could calm the raging sea. Jesus can do that for you. And so Jesus commands these demons to leave this man, and they left. He was controlled by a demon, but now he's controlled by Jesus. If you're struggling with addiction, Jesus Christ has the power to set you free. He is the friend of sinners. He is the friend of the addicted. Here's what you need to do. Number one, admit you have a problem. That's what AA, right? That's how AA begins. You have to acknowledge you have a problem and understand you don't have any power. That God has all the power to help you in this addiction. You don't have any power. And that's why you can't escape addiction on your own. Because it is a sin that has more power than you have the ability to control in your life. Then number two, determine that you want to be liberated, not just forgiven. See, it's one thing to say, "God, forgive me for this sin," but it's another thing to be liberated from that sin. And you want to be liberated. Do you want to get well? Do you want to break the chains that bind you? Remember, there can be all kinds of sins in our life that are enslaving. Maybe I didn't mention any that are in your life today, but there are other sins that may be in your life. And then I think it's important to be accountable to believers in Jesus Christ. I think it's extremely important. James says, confess your sins to one another and pray to one another. And so getting together with a brother or a sister, sharing your struggles and asking them for help is a wonderful thing because it holds you accountable. They might call you and say, "How's it going? Are you still taking the pills? Are you still drinking? Are you still gambling? Are you..." Whatever it is, have you overcome it? Are you struggling still? Do you need help? And so I think it's important to be accountable and willing to pray and ask God. And then remove the source of temptation. Empty the bottle. Tell your doctor not to fill the script. Put the computer in a room where other people can see it, not just you. Because that takes away temptation when other people can see what you're watching. And so the point here is you got to take action, because if you don't do anything, you're not going to overcome. And then you need to anticipate opposition from your friends. So you would think that these people would feel safe that Jesus is there and he's rebuked this demon. He's stilled the water. He's rebuked this demon. But they want Jesus to leave. They don't want Jesus to stay. And yet he solved their problem. Right? Here's this demon-possessed man who terrorized the people. Jesus cures him. And they tell Jesus, get out of here. What's the point? The point is, some of your friends are going to probably tell you to get out of here. Because if you don't use, you don't drink, you don't do this, they don't want you as a friend. They only wanted you because you shared in their addiction or their habit. So there was a father who watched his little boy. He was trying to lift a rock and he simply couldn't do it. And the father walked over to the son and said, have you used all of the strength that's available to you? And he said, yes. And the father said, no, you haven't. You haven't asked me. And so the little boy and the father were able to lift that heavy rock and move it. You see, you can conquer your addiction with Jesus. He is your friend and he wants to help you. See, it doesn't matter how intelligent or strong and motivated you are. There is one who has the strength to help you conquer the addiction that is enslaving you. And so if you have a problem and you need help, it's don't feel like, oh man, they're going to think I'm not a good Christian. They're going to think evil of me. They're going to think that, you know, I'm just a no good believer in Jesus Christ. No, we don't. We know you need help. And we will pray with you and we will hug you and we will embrace you and we will help you. That's what we will do. And so we are a friend of sinners as well. And so if you have a need, come this morning as we sing.